later, I've just tried to idle for 5 minutes after the actual start time, hoping that we'll start the meeting when at least I've got 6 members around. But I would do request my secretary just to send an SMS urgently that those members that are supposed to be here to come decide for us to be able to proceed with the work that we're supposed to do today. Honorable members, you'll remember last week we had a briefing on a court ruling, constitutional court ruling, and then I have indicated that we'll still have some engagement with the department for us to be able to move forward. And then we have done that, those engagements. And then it looks like we are ready to actually talk to each other on this particular matter. And just before we do so, we have received apologies from the following members. Honorable S.J. Nkomo is not going to be with us. Then Honorable Fichland, and then he's saying a possibility that they may join us a little bit late. I'm sure he's back somewhere. And those are the only two apologies that we have received. And I am seeing the chief whip of the Democratic Alliance is with us today. I think we appreciate your presence. And I'm not sure whether you are acting as an alternate today for a member that may not be a present, or if you can just get that line.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm here today because Honorable Hussein let me know that he's back. So I'm a visiting member, I'm not an official alternate, but I hope to assist with your quorum.
No, thank you very much. If Honorable Hussein is not going to be with us today, that means you'll have all the rights. All the rights to act on his behalf and ensure that the work of the committee proceeds. Honorable members, you, as I've indicated, that we had a briefing from the legal services on the constitutional court ruling. We all know that there is a constitutional defect that has to be corrected under the Refugee Act. But honorable members must also remember that the Refugee Act in question at the moment also has been amended in 2008, and an amendment which has not been operationalized. And then and one of those amendments that were made in the 2008 Amendment Act also appears on the constitutional defect, which I think will be briefed how to deal with that as well as we move forward. And now I want us to be briefed now on the consequences of that specific court ruling, and also how we're going to move forward and from today in terms of the rules. I would ask the advocate if you could just take us now on the consequences and the options that we have to correct this specific defect. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, honorable members and members of the public. Last week, you will recall that I briefed this committee on the Mail and Guardian and others versus the Chief of Judgment that was delivered in 2013. The finding of the Constitutional Court in the Chief of Judgment when the three newspapers challenged the constitutionality of a particular section of the Refugees Act, which was namely Section 21.5, which provided for absolute confidentiality in respect of asylum applications. The Constitutional Court ruled that particular section to be unconstitutional, and as part of its order, it also provided for a read-in provision, which provided for a discretion to be placed on the Refugee Appeal Board to allow people of the public and people from the media access to some of its hearings in appropriate matters. part of the order was that the declaration of invalidity was suspended for a period of 2 years in order to allow Parliament to correct the defect. That's exactly what the order said. But pending the correction of the defect or the expiry of the 2 years, the court has provided for that particular read-in provision that allows for the discretion on the Refugee Appeal Board. The period of 2 years ends on the 26th of September this year. Now, when 26th of September arrives, what would happen is that the order of invalidity would kick in, which would then mean that Section 21(5) of the Refugees Act would be unconstitutional, and the read-in provision that was also provided by the court would no longer be available. That would also fall away. The consequence of that would then be that there would be a gap in our law. There are two ways to correct it. One way is obviously if the executive brings the bill that would correct the defect by the date of 26 September. The other alternative is for a committee to bring a committee bill to address that particular defect so that we can meet the Constitutional Court order deadline of 26 September 2015. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, I want to indicate that a part of the work that one has as a chairperson is that there are quite a lot of engagements behind the scenes to actually ensure that the work that has to be done gets completed. And when we tried to work out from the 26th of September backwards, making some allowances, the time that the President may require to sign an amendment bill if it has been approved by Parliament, and also making allowance for the time that the NCOP may require if it needs concurrence on the particular matter, and the time that we will require to process the bill ourselves in the National Assembly, and the time that's required to make an advertisement for public to make inputs into the amendment, and also the time that will be required on the introduction of the bill in the House, then it gives us an indication that the route of the executive, through the executive, it is no longer feasible. There is no time. And an engagement was made with an executive as well as a minister. And on the two options that have been made available, we have agreed that for us to be able to comply, that by the 26th, this amendment should have been signed by the President, is to go through the committee bill. Because then through the committee bill, it will actually remove all other processes that will be required to be undertaken by the executive. And then this will be initiated right here in Parliament to correct this specific constitutional defect. It is not necessarily, one can just say, not necessarily a debatable issue. It's actually a technical amendment. Because the provision is actually declared to be constitutional, except that they must not bring in the flexibility that the appeal board, as in the current principal act, should be able to make that judgment as and when it is required to allow the media and the public to attend those specific engagements with the applications. So it is seen as a technical amendment to comply with the court ruling. And therefore, the minister is happy that we should continue the committee bill route. And now, if we have to continue to bring in a committee bill to correct this anomaly, then there are processes in terms of the rule that requires us to go through. I would like to hear any comment on the briefing that we have up to now from the honourable members if there is anything that we should try and clarify more or to be informed more before we actually go through the next steps of what needs to happen then if we go through the committee. None. Honorable members, then let me take then the next step.
Just two questions. Firstly, has consideration been given to approaching the Concord for an extension, as we did with the Sexual Offences Amendment Bill? And secondly, I understand what the advantages are of doing a committee bill for the technical amendment. Are there any disadvantages that may arise through the process?
Should I respond to that first before I come to you? We have spoken about approaching the Concord for an extension. And one is that this technical amendment, it was made in 2013, on the 26th of September 2013. We're given 2 years just simply to effect that technical amendment. And then now we are almost 1.5 years or so, 1.5 or just more than 1.5 years without having done so. And then the consideration was that there may not be reasonable, acceptable grounds to do that because we may not be able to convince the court that really we had anything that would prohibit us or make it difficult for us to effect that change. Then the other issue is on top of that one is that we may make the application to the Concord and asking for an extension. And then the Constitutional Court may stay with the application for a month or two. And after 2 months, and then they say, no, we are not agreeing with you, then Parliament and the Executive will be in disarray on this specific matter. Then hence we opted that let's do it and be certain that this particular matter is closed. It's a technical amendment. And the technical amendment we're speaking about is actually currently in practice because that's what has been read into that particular provision now. And we just need to actually almost convert it to be now is part of the legislation other than being the lead-in clause from the Constitutional Court. Honorable Rafut. Okay, thank you very much. And then can we then get those other the copies of the memo then to be distributed to the members? You may proceed that. Proceed now to the memorandum in terms of the rules.
Honourable members, the purpose of this memo is to gain permission from the House for this committee to actually proceed with the committee bill. This permission is sought in terms of Rule 50, NRO Rule 50, Subsection 1, together with Rule 58. Now, those two rules say that any committee intending to introduce a bill in the Assembly must table a memo in the Assembly setting out three particular things. The first thing is the particulars of the proposed legislation. The second thing is the objects of the bill, and the third issue is whether the bill will have any financial implications for the state, and if so, you will need to give an account of what those financial implications are. So if we go through the memorandum, the heading is really just a seeking the permission in terms of the applicable rules, and that's what's quoted there. And then if we look at what the purpose of the bill is, the purpose of the bill is to amend the Principal Act, which is your Refugees Act No. 130 of 1998, so so as to confer a discretion upon the Refugee Appeals Authority to allow the public and the media access to its proceedings in appropriate cases. And this wording is taken almost directly from the Constitutional Court judgment, because that's what the court found. The court found Section 21(5) to be unconstitutional insofar as it infringed upon the freedom of expression rights contained in Section 16 of the Constitution, in that Section 21(5) did not confer discretion on the appeal board to allow people from the media or the public access to its appeal hearings in appropriate matters. Paragraph B then just sets out the background to this particular bill. We speak about the court's finding in the chief judgment, and it's really just a summary of what the court found. We elaborate that the declaration of invalidity was suspended for a period of 2 years from the date of the order, and as I said earlier, that period ends on the 26th of September this year. We then also just elaborate that the court did provide a read-in provision, and that particular read-in applies until the deadline expires. Part 2 then says what the proposed committee bill will deal with, and this is really if the committee went with the exact wording that was provided for in the Constitutional Court, and if that's what this committee agrees to, that's what the proposed bill will contain. What the committee bill will then address is this Constitutional Court judgment in the CHIPU. It will then provide for what the bill will do is that it will amend Section 21(5) of the Principal Act by providing that a discretion be conferred on the Refugee Appeals Authority to be exercised after taking into account relevant factors, and these factors were also listed in the Constitutional Court judgment, such as whether the asylum seeker consents to a party's attendance or whether it is in the public interest to allow any party from the public or the media to attend the proceedings. And then also the bill will deal with certain consequential amendments in order to accurately and correctly give effect to the chief judgment. Paragraph C, we say that it's not foreseen that the proposed legislation will lead to any expenditure for the state, because as we understand, that is how that particular provision is currently being practiced, where what the court read in is what the Refugee Appeal Board is currently doing. Thank you
very much. Honorable members, just after this particular briefing, you'll have seen that there is reference to Refugee Appeal Board and the Refugee Appeal Authority. I would like the advocate just simply to explain that a little bit more.
Yes, Chairperson is correct that what the proposed committee bill will refer to when in its drafting will be what we call the Refugee Appeals Authority instead of what we currently know as the Refugee Appeal Board. The reason for that is that you'll recall the chairperson earlier mentioned that the Refugees Act, the Principal Act, was amended in 2008. A very big part of the 2008 amendment was that it dissolved what is called the Refugee Appeal Board and instead established what would be called the Refugee Appeals Authority. However, the 2008 Act is not yet in operation. So as we currently talk, we talk of a Refugee Appeal Board. But in drafting, a drafting rule is that you always need to amend the Principal Act as if it's been amended already by subsequent amendment acts. So what I mean by this is that you will recall in the Constitutional Court judgment, the court constantly refers to the Refugee Appeal Board. But if this committee goes with the committee bill, the proposed wording would be that instead of referring to a Refugee Appeal Board in the amendment to Section 21(5), the committee bill will refer to a Refugee Appeals Authority so that it's in line with all the amendments that were made to the Principal Act. A transitional provision will then be proposed to be inserted into the committee bill, which would say something along the lines of any reference to the Refugee Appeals Authority as amended in Section 21(5) must be construed as a reference to the Refugee Appeal Board until such time that the Amendment Act of 2008 comes into operation. So that will provide the clarity as to why the principal act refers to an appeal board, but the committee board would refer to the appeals authority.
Thanks for that clarity. There we are now, honourable members, and then going the committee route, then the rules of parliament requires us to actually submit a memorandum that explains the purpose of the bill and the object of the bill and whether there will be financial implications. And that's why we have actually already tried to draft this particular document for consideration by members. The sooner we get this agreed to, then it will go into parliament system for it then to go to the House, for the House to agree or refuse to give us permission. But that's what the rules requires us, that we must request permission to proceed, but we must first convince the House why it should approve. And that is the purpose of this memorandum. And only when they have done so, then that will now embark on the legislation itself, if they have agreed to do so. Is that a little bit much more clearer? Okay. If it is a little bit clearer, honorable members, then on the copies that you are having, I was of the opinion that paragraph C, the manner in which we have crafted it, it may send a message that there is an element of doubt. And there is no doubt, because the current read-in clause is in practice now. And we are almost expected just simply to confirm something similar to that. Even if there is any those that are creative, whatever they create, the substance must be giving the Refugee Appeal Authority some powers to take decisions when to close the door or when to open it, when they deal with these applications. Doesn't matter how it's formulated, but at the end of the day, that is what must happen. And then, now, the current read-in is in practice now. So, for us to actually bring this to the House, for the House to confirm it, as Parliament's amendment, it can't bring additional cost at all. So that's exactly what is happening. And now, I wanted that sentence then to really clearly state that there is no additional cost that will come. Yes, it's not what it is said. Yeah, you see, so when you foresee, then there is an element of doubt, so that tomorrow you can say, no, I could not foresee that, but you see, there must be straight clarity on this particular matter that this one will not bring additional cost, because it's just confirming the status quo as of today. Okay. Can we first then look at the first page then? If there is any text or anything that members want to suggest on the first page that you are not happy about, I'm trying to look for second opinion. No, it will be the third or fourth opinion now from my side. Yes. Or maybe I should just give you 3 minutes of just reading this document and advise us whether there is any sentence that may be interpreted as just meaning something different than what we but be informed that Mr. Chibu is around here, he's among us. Maybe I should just ask him to stand on his two hands. No, on his two legs. There is Mr. Chibu. Thank you very much. Are you okay now? Okay. Let's start with paragraph number A. Paragraph number A, purpose of the bill. The purpose of the bill is to amend the Refugees Act 1998, Act number 130 of 1998, so as to confer discretion upon the Refugee Appeals Authority to allow the public and the media access to its proceedings in appropriate cases. Have we agreed on that one? I think that we agree. Then on the background, without repeating what the advocate has said, is there anything that any member then has got a problem with? Subparagraph one? None. Subparagraph 2. None. Subparagraph 3. Honorable Stevenson.
Just a suggestion, if I may, Chair, to effectively capture what the State Advocate said around the transition arrangements, perhaps the insertion after the bill will also deal with necessary consequential amendments and transitional arrangements in order to effectively amend Section 21.5 as set out above.
Advocates?
I think that would be fine because that would be a transitional provision that would be in the proposed committee bill.
Okay. Thank you. Agreed, honourable member. Agreed, there's no harm. And then we get to C. Then we just have to kill certain ways and insert one way. The first, it is not foreseen that if we delete that. Then the sentence that the proposed legislation will not lead to any expenditure for the state. The proposed bill. Is it acceptable? Does it bring much more clarity? Okay. Then anybody to propose for the memorandum to be agreed to? That is it. Anybody can assist him there with the mic?
I propose that let us have to it.
Thank you very much. Any second, Mayor Aput? Thank you very much. And there is a second amendment for the memorandum to with amendments. And then there is anybody who have reservations? Is there any reason why you should not agree to this? None. Thank you very much, honourable members. I think then this document will then be finalized, and then I'll sign it on your behalf and lodge it with the Parliament. And I just hope that in the earliest opportunity of a plenary in the House, then this particular document should serve in there for seeking agreement with the House. Thank you very much, honourable members. And then there is the set of minutes, which I think just needs to be distributed. This is now in house. That I think is the last thing that we have to do. Then we should go and join the extended public committee. Thank you very much, Advocate, for your help and assistance. And then we'll deal with other administrative activities that requires us to process this. You are released if. Yes. Honourable members, I think we should be having two sets of minutes, minutes of the 5th of May and minutes of the 12th of May. Minute of the 5th of May, that's minutes of a meeting that took place exactly where we are now, where we received some presentations from the National Organization for Migration and the African Center for Migration and Society. I think that's the one that's based in Perth. And the Department of Home Affairs, that's correction there, the S must not disappear. They are being distributed today to yourself, and especially the very set of minutes that I'm having now here is quite a good number of pages, as the other pages. You also require some few minutes to just go through the minutes. Otherwise, but it was just presentation. So I think what is much more important is just simply to look at the decisions that the committee may have taken on those meetings. If I can take you straight to that page, honourable members, because the presentations is not easy to misrepresent them, because all of us have good copies of those presentations. Then on section 4 of the minute, where we've got the decision, and then 4-1, we are saying migration, I think this is just a note. Migration cannot be stopped, but merely better managed. Research on migration in SADC helps inform evidence-based policy and access to information for research should be encouraged. The DHA should encourage the remaining SADC countries to sign and ratify the SADC protocol on the facilitation of movement of persons. And the DHA should reassess the numbers and types of skills to be prioritized in providing foreign nationals with permits to enter the country. Better border management should focus on improving access to legal documentation and improved interaction with migrant countries of origin. If we need to slip over this minute, I think we should be able to do so. Because, of course, it's the content of the minute will really require us to be versed with. But I guess I've said is that although it is very, if not next to impossible, to misrepresent the presentation. Can you advise me, honorable members? Dukman, what's your view? We can go through from one page to the other until the end. It's not a problem. But if you want to inform yourself as well, you must not deny yourself an opportunity to be thorough as well.
Well, I must review that we can dispense with the minutes in 10 minutes' time.
Okay.
And adopt them rather than postpone them for another day.
Okay, is that the view of the rest? Page 1. I have made it on the agenda, the department in the middle must leave the S so that it's not in plural. And then the attendance, all names spelled correctly. And then the next page, the support staff and departmental staff, all names. Make it your eyes. I'm not sure. The surname of advocate, Gom, is sometimes spelled with some other funny little thing. Is this the correctly spelled as it is? Just G-A-U-M.
That's
right. It's not Gom, that's an island. Oh, okay. No, all right.
Thank you. In fact, I propose that on page 2, the second line from the bottom, Mr. Richard O.T.S., I think we need to explain that abbreviation.
Mm-hmm.
Is it T surname?
The T and the S must be small letters.
Then they would be small letters.
Okay. They must be small letters. Yes. I'm sure they just had enough ink. Alright, and then now can you go to page 3? It looks like everywhere where there is OTS is in capital letters. I just hope that it was not the cut and paste of the surname. I'm not sure whether this is right on that 3.1, the second line from the bottom first paragraph. We have written the amount there in dollars. Is it going to make sense to us? It is just as it was reported. Okay. I just hope that we'll be having the exchange rates. History, and that is nice.
Thank you. The third sentence from the top under 3.1.
Yeah.
He mentions that in all regions of the world there were 19 million refugees and 3 million were in Africa. I think there is a better way of writing that. Of which 3 million were in Africa. Thank you.
Of which 3 million. Okay. Done. Page 4. I'm tempted to go to page 5. Zimbabwean special permit. I thought it is called ZSP now. ZSP. This one. ZSP. There are ways that must be deleted. The dispensation and the project is to kill them. Yeah, so that is. Yeah, let us just make sure that we have the correct full writing of that abbreviation. Not insert other ways which distort what it is. Other than that, is there any other thing? Then page 6, which is the last page, but I still request that you must look carefully on 4, whether what is in there makes sense, because I still believe that 4.1 is not a decision. It's a note, actually. It's not a decision. I would propose that it be removed. It was just noting the status quo. That is, you can't stop my. migration, but you can only just manage it. Just a simple thing.
Yes, I think there's on top there is noted as well. Having engaged and sought clarity from the IOM, ACMS, and DAC on their presentations, the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs noted the following. And now, these on top should have been decisions.
I think it must be corrected.
And therefore, it should be corrected. If perhaps we wanted to include 4.1, it could be part of the paragraph, the first paragraph under 4. But I do not have any phrase. I've just received this document, so I do not have a perfect phrase for that. And then the decisions.
I would suggest that we just get rid of the notings. Because you can't implement the notings. You know, so the sentence on top, I think it must remove what that we have noted that. I think it must talk to the decisions. The Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs has made the following decisions or taken the following decisions. Then we remove 4.1. 4.2 makes sense.
I don't know when we remove 4.1. Now I'm remembering what happened there, because I was thinking that there's that issue of overstaying of so many migrants, plus minus a big number, 700,000. Yeah. Now, when we remove this one, can we rephrase it so that appears, because that should be managed? We can't have 300,000 people overstaying here without any documentation. So maybe we can just rephrase it so that appears, instead of saying we're turning away that sentence. Because I thought to my observation, I thought that can be false under that 4.1.
Formulation, Adam. Okay. Then we should just simply be saying that migration should be better managed. Okay. Briefing from the advocate on the Concord ruling. page one. None. Then page two. Yes, Honorable Maxson.
On apologies, you kept up very well on the first page that those apologies that you received. But when you go to page two, just to check, and the chairperson write apologies for Mrs. T. E. Kenya, and so on and so on. What happened?
The apologies. Okay. Honorable member, are you referring to apologies?
Yes.
Yes. I think on the apologies, Honorable Rapudi arrived in time, and then the other two. I'm told that the secretary, when he arrived in the office, then he found the apologies. They were not read in the meeting. Yes. Okay. That's why then they have been included on the list of apologies in front. Honorable.
Yeah, if they have not been read in the meeting, then you cannot have them as part of the list. To have the apologies that were there, that were read, and then perhaps, I don't know how we manage then the link level, because my memory serves me well, as it usually does, she changed in time. So, but it's just a reflection, a true reflection.
No, it's fine. It's that when she arrived already, it was announced that she will arrive late. Already.
Yeah, but
I before the meeting was
started. Yeah, I phoned in 59, and then after the just to question here that I might be late. But when I arrived, the meeting was not started.
You mean that then? No. I think I did make this announcement. I did make that you'll be arriving late. We've already gone through that apology. When you arrived, we're already gone. And then I think it is correct as it is. And then, but of course, is that you have been correctly recorded as present on the front page, because you were there, of course, in that meeting. But like as one would always try and request members, is that your secretaries must try and communicate to the secretary. But I mean, we must understand that when the meeting starts at 9:30, we will expect that the secretary of the committee will be out of his office at least around 9:00. So if an apology is sent at 9:15. When the meeting starts at 9:30, the likelihood is that it will arrive in his email box while he is on his way to the venue. Then he may not be having that apology by the time the meeting starts. And then, so we may need to be a little bit vigilant to try and make sure that at least those apologies arrive a little bit early. even though that one would not encourage apologies, but would encourage members to physically attend. But should any eventuality occur that you don't act, you see that you're not going to be able to attend, and then it's better that the apology comes a little bit early and get the secretary to send it as quick as possible. Thank you, Honorable Member. Then, and then also we had, I think, Honorable Member. No, can't remove them. Oh, no, that's why we are pleading with them that in future then to try and get the apology in time. Yeah, well, it makes sense, but we must just take cognizance that I think there are three in the National Assembly, and they have to split themselves into all 40 plus committees, and then and then they will always attend meetings in terms of their priorities, and if they feel that what is going to be transacted in the committee on that particular day does not worry them, they will always prefer other committee meetings. But I'm not speaking for them. The only thing I can speak on their behalf for Honorable Melder is that he is faced with many committees because they are not many. But the reasons how they try to prioritize their business, I'm not privy to that. All what I know is that they must meet themselves among the many committees of Parliament. And so they have to take quite a good number of decisions every day where to go. And that's good.
Thank you, Chair. No, in fact, I agree with you, Chair. But I think there are members that are debating or that are supposed to be in the House. So if we could just speed up, please.
I think we have agreed. We go to page 2. I think this is exactly what we have almost discussed. It's almost what we have been discussing in the previous item. Page 3. Then what is new is from page 4, I think, that may not be privy, but it's just a small paragraph where we received the strategic plan of the committee. Then, on page 4, critical to 7.1 that I promised to engage the department on this particular bill. I've done so, and then costs related to legal matters and other issues will be raised with the department. I think there is some formulation that must be redone here. Because here I think we're talking about, I think it was Honorable Hussein's issue that he would love us to debate the cost that are incurred by the department on court cases. Yeah. Is 7.2 saying that, or it needs to be panel vetted for it to say exactly that? Because currently, I don't think it says that. Can you be assisted, Adam? Currently, it doesn't say that. to litigation. Not on other issues, it's cost related to litigation. Would be raised with the Department of Home Affairs when the DH appears before the committee. Yes. Can you be crafted like that? Then the certificate would be distributed to all committee members. I hope that is what's going to happen. The content advisor will complete and distribute the committee annual performance plan within a week of the meeting. I hope that has been done. I think we must just have a look at that and then make sure that it goes to members. That takes me to the end of this document. With amendments, anybody who's happy about it? Does it come in?
Yeah, these minutes should be adopted with the amendments.
Okay, the proposal for adoption with amendments. Honorable Nis?
I second the adoption.
Thank you, the ministers. The proposal has been seconded. Honorable members, that brings me to the end of this particular meeting.